One performance, about 8 years ago, completely changed how I think about the circus. In this episode, the story of why, and what it taught me about beauty and teamwork, and the fine line between entertainment and art. It's I Heart This, everyone. I'm Ben Lord. Let's talk about what we love. Gotta admit, I didn't expect to love the circus. When I thought of them, I thought of squirm-inducing freak shows where people gawked at women with facial hair or conjoined twins, or 19th century fraudsters passing off some construction of fish bones and paper mache as a mermaid. I have this thing about carnivals or trained animal shows or theme parks. When I go, all I see are cheap tricks, long lines, plastic waste, underpaid service employees, and overpriced souvenirs. I know, I'm a Scrooge, but really, it's very hard to enjoy myself when part of my brain is repeatedly screaming, "It's a scam! It's a scam!" So when Laura got two discounted tickets to Cirque du Soleil, my expectations were low. At least no one would be using whips and chairs to tame a lion or make elephants balance on a stool. I remember finding our seats and thinking, huh, the floor's not sticky with spilled Coke. Maybe it'll be okay. And then I thought, oh damn, I hope there's no clowns. I hate clowns. Especially when they try to get the audience to participate in some ridiculous physical comedy bit or worse, pressure some volunteer to come up on stage for a mildly embarrassing bit role as their straight man. And as I thought that, the lights went down and I fell out of a plane. At least, that's what it felt like. It was so unexpected. Look, I know I cannot do this justice over the airwaves, but in one act early on, a man trepidatiously turns a giant wind-up key in the middle of the stage, and the whole tent comes alive. Performers dressed in colorful feathers come from nowhere. They turn and flip through hoops, perfectly evoking hummingbirds. And through them, one woman dashes out onto the stage at a full sprint, and she's not a hummingbird, but a butterfly with wings unfurled to fill the tent, each one 20 feet wide. And there's this conveyor belt set up on the stage that moves beneath her so that no matter how fast she leaps and wheels, she seems to fly in place with this look of transcendent joy on her face. Over the course of the next 2 hours, my low expectations were pulverized. This wasn't a series of stunts. This was an entire dream world, a story with dozens of characters and 1,000 details, and no matter where I looked, I could not see them all. I would catch hidden bits of choreography and dance out of one corner of my eye, and by the time I turned back, the set had completely transformed. I mean, sure, there were crazy stunts. Things that really did defy belief. Things that must have taken years of training just to attempt. And they were wonderful. But what really touched my heart was the story. I'd come expecting diversion, entertainment. But instead, I found waves of inspiration and melancholy and joy and nostalgia for a place that I had never been. By intermission, I was trying to catch my breath and wipe tears from my eyes when Laura asked me what I thought of the show. And I was so stunned, I couldn't even answer her. Call me a Scrooge all you want, but here's the thing. I still think I had good reason to be skeptical. The history of the circus is replete with con men. Despite what you saw in The Greatest Showman, P.T. Barnum was a first-rate asshole. He shamelessly lied, exploited his performers, perpetuated hoaxes, and conned his audiences for a living. He may never have literally said a sucker is born every minute, but there is no doubt that he lived his life that way. Chicanery was the norm in circus, not the exception, all the way back to ancient Rome. When I left that show, after the euphoria dissipated, I asked myself why I found it so moving. While trips I've taken to Orlando theme parks, which try to create the same kind of immersive wonderland, left me feeling kind of gross. Look, I'm still not sure exactly what the magic is, and I'm not even sure I want to define it, but I can tell you a few things that it's not. Clearly, it's not something inherent in circus or theme parks. I mean, it's easy to judge art forms like I judged the circus based on stereotypes. Comic books, graffiti, burlesque, soap opera. They may tend to be shallow or cheap or appeal to our voyeurism or cruelty, but tendency is not destiny, and every genre has its moments of genius. Maybe someday there'll even be a theme park that surprises me in the way that the circus did. And it's not tone either. Art doesn't have to be a certain way. It doesn't have to say something serious. Sometimes it's just fun. And it's not scale either. Something isn't inherently bad because it's popular or because there's a big corporate infrastructure behind it. Cirque du Soleil itself is a billion-dollar company with shows all over the world. Hollywood movies can cost hundreds of millions of dollars and involve thousands of people. Some of them are clearly trash that came out of an executive boardroom to generate ticket sales, while others will echo in your heart for a lifetime. Commerce does, I think, have some role to play in the difference I feel. But it's not the whole thing. I mean, it's not as simple as art is good and money is bad. In our world, there's no way around it. If you want to dedicate yourself to art, then you've got to sell it. And an audience that respects its artists ought to pay them generously for the essential work they do to uplift human hearts. The more I reflected, the more I realized that the boundary I'd drawn between cynical entertainment and life-affirming art was not so clear. The circus might be a business, but as I learned that day, it can be more. Even though we live in a world that elevates the P.T. Barnums, even though entertainment has always been exploited by cynics and con men to separate people from their money, somehow, wonderfully, authentic art is everywhere. Even within the most rapacious entertainment companies, there are people making true and beautiful things. What I saw that day at Cirque du Soleil were some of the finest artists in the world. These were people who loved circus, who had seen something in its tradition that I had never seen. They loved it so much that they had given it their lives. The things that they did took years of dedication and training, and it also took a great deal of risk. And not just the risk of falling from a trapeze, but of livelihood. Like so many arts, the world of circus is highly competitive. Only a fraction of those who want to will ever make it their livelihood. But the only way to possibly get there is to sacrifice the years of your life where you'd be going to college or building a dependable career. Financially, you are working without a net. And then you have to explain to your parents why, instead of going to college, you're spending every day in a gym practicing juggling bricks off a trampoline or launching a partner into the air with a seesaw. Circus is a path that can bring you far away from family and friends, sometimes for years. It is the type of thing that would make it hard to have a family or maybe even a marriage. And yet, people choose it. And I am so glad that they did. And it's not just the performers either. They are just the visible tip of an iceberg. A whole community worked to write that story, block the theater, choreograph the dance, meticulously build each costume by hand, perfect the makeup, craft 1,000 ingenious set pieces, compose the music, and play it all with grace. And keep the books, and tend the injured, and sell tickets, and turn off the lights. Perhaps the greatest act of the circus is not the feats of balance and agility. It is the synchrony, the perfected art of human teamwork. In the circus, your life might literally depend on someone else being in the exact right position, in the exact right place, at the exact right instant. But behind every daredevil mid-air catch, there are hundreds of people, all focused on telling one story in a way that will amaze and delight. To be part of something where so many work together for one common, beautiful artistic vision and see it become real? Well, that's enough to make any child's heart dream of running away to join them. Now, someone with a circus story of their own, or someone who just loves live performance, maybe a skeptic who just doesn't get the appeal, you could send them this episode. Might just make their day. That quick share is the best way to help iHeart This spread its message of appreciation. And if you have a story about beauty, surprise, or seeing something in a new light, I'd love to hear it. You can always reach me at ben@iheartthispodcast.com. iHeart This is written, edited, and produced by me, Ben Lord. Our logo was designed by Bryony Morrow Cribbs. Our website is iheartthispodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, be kind, be curious, and be thankful.